That's one of the few songs that we now hear contemporaneously that actually fades. You know, the fade out, the old fade out. You don't hear the old fade out anymore, do you? No, you certainly do not. You certainly do not. I'm just looking out at the side here at myself. Whenever you see people do that, whenever you see people go, oh, so anyway, they're looking at themselves, you know, on the thing. All right, so what do I got, man? What do I got? What do I want to do? There's a lot of shit that I want to do. There's a lot of shit in this fucking world that I want, man. Mama, I want so many things. But whether we get these things in our lives is entirely dependent upon what? If you said luck, you're a dumb motherfucker. If you said luck, you're a dumb motherfucker, and you have to fucking start all over again. Go back to the start of the fucking line. Go back to the start of the line, you know. If we all want things in this world, and all it requires is what? And if you said luck, you're a dumb motherfucker, go back to the start of the line. That's all there is to it. Well, what is it, Phil? If I told you, it wouldn't make any difference because you wouldn't know what to do with it. You wouldn't know where to begin. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. Now you think I'm full of shit. Now you think I'm just... No, I'm not. I'll tell you what it is. We want so many things in this world, all it takes is... You've heard the word before. I'll say it again. Believe, man. Believe, motherfucker. Believe. That's it. Now, you think that that's just a simple word. No, it ain't. Now, that is the key to everything. You got to believe and push ahead as if it's already done. As if it's already been accomplished, you have to push ahead. Push ahead and be thinking about how you're going to handle the success and the largesse of all this shit, you know, that's going to be coming and landing in your motherfucking lap. See? That's what you got to be thinking. How do I fucking know? Because it's happened over and over and over and over again in my life. Okay? I went from being a guy that had no fucking clue what he was doing, had no confidence at all in what he was doing, and had no real understanding what he was doing. I went from that to the very highest rungs of the broadcast business. Okay? With tons of fucking money. Now, I ain't saying I haven't made mistakes of my life. You know, what would we be if we didn't make mistakes? We wouldn't learn shit, right? But I'm just telling you that when I started to focus and believe, and today, I've got a great life, man. I mean, I've got a better life than I thought I could possibly have, you know. I got my own business. I got money in the bank. I've got a whole other, you know, career in voiceover now that I never thought that I'd be doing. And there's all kinds of upsides still to happen. There's all kinds of other shit that's going on. And that was because I believed, you know. And the other thing that you got to do, and this was a thing that hung me up for a long time, is you have to gain, I would say, gain as much humility as you can. There's nothing like humility, man. Humility is what keeps us connected to who we are, you know. And, yeah, in the entertainment business, you have to put it on like you're all this. Of course you do, you know. But I'll tell you, I guarantee you, you will find some of the most humble people I ever fucking met are in the entertainment business. And that also goes along with the fact that some of the most insecure people, you've heard that, but that ain't anything that, you know, you don't know. So that's my little lesson today. Here on our pre-show, which I know so many of you enjoy, and some of you wish was actually the show, you know. And maybe we should do this. You know, maybe we should do this. Maybe I should just sit here and mumble my fucking way through an hour Maybe someday I'll have the confidence to do that. Who knows? Maybe that's the next big fucking thing in my career. Phil Hendry is just going to mumble his way through an hour, and bang, it's magic. You know, I don't know. What is going on in our fucking world now, man? Turkey is experiencing crazy shit, man. Turkey is experiencing crazy shit. Child's body has been found in search for a missing five-year-old. Jesus Christ. A French couple's love for the American West ends in tragedy. Oh, great. What is this? The family from France was so enthralled by their first for the last visit to the American West that they started planning another almost immediately. On Facebook, they posted pictures of the vast blue skies, the ragged ochre canyons, and the endless strips of asphalt that had captivated them. This year, David and Ornelia Steiner, a couple from a quiet town near Reims, almost 100 miles east of Paris, returned, starting in Seattle before heading to Santa Fe. A picture posted on August 2nd on Mr. Reimer's Facebook page showed the vivid electric blue water of a natural pool in Yellowstone. But it was at the White Sands National Monument of New Mexico, a region where beautiful landscapes can conceal dangers quick to surprise even the most prepared visitor, that the Steiners' new trip took a terrible turn. Last week, the couple was found dead in the desert, apparently from heat-related exhaustion during a hike. Their 9-year-old son, Enzo, was the only one to survive, found alive by park rangers who believe his parents sacrificed water to save him. Good God. The French Foreign Ministry said on Monday that the boy arrived in France over the weekend with his grandmother, who had flown to Albuquerque to bring him home. Kim Dunce, who worked with Ms. Steiner at the Reims Town Hall, said in a telephone interview that news of the couple's death had shocked her co-workers, who all knew about the trip because Ms. Steiner had been planning it for over a year. Oh, God. They had fallen in love with the area. It was their dream project. The bodies of Mr. Steiner, 42, his wife, Ornelia, 51, were found by park rangers last week during a routine patrol. Sheriff Benny House of Otero County told the Alamogordo Daily News on Saturday the two empty 20-ounce water bottles were found with the bodies, but that the boy told investigators the bottles were full when the family started the hike. The father and mother would take one drink while they made the child take two swallows of water. It might have been why their child fared so well due to his smaller stature, plus he probably consumed more water than they did. What did they do, man? What did they do? They just wandered off into the... You can get fucking lost, shit you out. When I was a kid, I'll never forget my old man. We would go to the desert to look at land. My dad wanted to look at land. He wanted to, let's take a look at land. You know, maybe we'll buy some land. So we'd go out there, and I remember it. In fact, there's home movies of it. If you go to our home movie page, you'll see us hiking in the desert, and we built little markers. And this was my dad's way of saying, gotta have little landmarks, is what he called them, you know, landmarks, show markers to show where we've been, okay? Because we don't know where we're going to be hiking, and so build these little markers. And that's what we did. We'd pile little rocks, and we'd go and created a trail, you know, which I remember at the time I thought was kind of goofy because I could look down and see where the car was parked, but hey, you know. Or maybe that was just my memory of it, who knows? So that Ms. Steiner did not strike her as someone who would take inconsiderate risk. When plan A didn't work, she always had a plan B and plan C. Was also very protective of her son and would not have put him in harm's way. Ms. Steiner also had two older children. But Sheriff House said the investigation showed that the family arrived at the White Sands National Monument around midday when temperatures peak and set out shortly before 1 p.m. It's the desert in the summer, man! I don't know about this particular part of the desert in New Mexico. It's got to be the desert in the summer, for Christ's sake. It's 120 fucking degrees, man. Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. Jesus Christ. The other thing I want to tell you guys about is that my brother, while protecting his privacy, and I will, but my brother Dara is ill, and he is not faring well, and so I'm spending the days going from our home and studio in the El Pacifico out here at Port Hueneme all the way into the valley. It's about a 40-mile drive. It's not terrible, but in L.A. traffic, it can be a beautiful thing, man, and I'm being facetious. it's a day-to-day thing with him, and if for whatever reason there is a, and I'm not saying there will be, but if for whatever reason there is a noticeable absence of my, or maybe, I don't know, the shows, the character of the shows change a little bit in terms of what I do, please understand.
What's going on, man?
My brother Dara is 72. He's almost 10 years older than me. He's about 8 months older than me. His birthday's in May. And he has been battling for about 6 years diabetes. And a variety of other things that come with that. And he has his, thank God, Obamacare. We have insurance, as well as Medicare, which I think is probably one and the same thing. His veterans benefits, VA benefits, which we're going to sustain him at something called CalVet. And CalVet is a series of homes that are fully staffed with doctors and nurses. So I understand. I just, you know, if I'm getting this wrong, as a lot of you guys probably have way more experience with this than me. Forgive me, but I'm just getting this all secondhand. And, but right now we're trying to, you know, we're trying to take it one day at a time because he's not well. He's really not well. And I saw him on Saturday. And he was alert, and he saw me, and you know, and I told him I loved him and all that stuff. And but today I went back today, and he wasn't awake. They've got him really heavily sedated, trying to get the there's an infection. He developed pneumonia. You know, the guy's. He's having a rough time, man. So, but I looked up, and because of my vast experience with the medical practice, you see, I could see that he looked at all of the charts and all the little readings. You know, he's getting like 99% oxygen, all that good shit, and was having a hard time. I think there was, you know, he has pneumonia, so they have to pump your fucking lungs is what's happening. But, you know, everything was good there, so... Hey, man, fuck it. You know, what are you going to do? You know, hey, nobody lives forever, man. That's for goddamn sure. And I realize it's tough to, when you're thinking about it from the standpoint of being 15 or 16 or 20 or 25, don't fucking worry about it, you know. I'm not even worried about it, you know. And I'm like, you know, almost knocking on motherfucking heaven's door right now as we speak. You know. But do I, what, me worry? Duke.
Yeah, well, hey, Phil, I just want to say, you know, I'm very sorry to hear about your brother, man. Yeah, I want to say that I'm very sorry. Hey, Phil, I wanted to say I'm very sorry to hear about your brother. I know, he's a tough guy.
Yeah, he is.
And I know that he's going to be...
All right. Blah, 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 blah.
Some fucking guy I'll never forget.
I'll never forget this as long as I live. This fucking dick sends me a message, and he's bitching at me, some asshole. It was, you know, listener a couple, 3 years ago. And he's bitching at me about, because I put down Jesse Ventura, which I would continue to do. To me, Jesse Ventura is a fucking, kind of almost a disgrace, you know. Why don't you just shut up about being a SEAL? Why don't you just shut up about everything, man? Because every time you open your mouth, you're so fucking stupid. Anyway, this guy was all pissed off at me. And he started ragging on me. And I said, well, you know, who are you, man? Because the guy went by the name of something like Joe Blow. He didn't, literally, it was like he was anonymous. But under this anonymity, he was making all these claims. He claimed he had been on some sort of a naval ship. He had served during the Vietnam War. He had this, he had that, he did a bunch of things. Well, I'm sorry, but unless somebody gives me their name, everything anybody who is anonymous says to me is bullshit, period. It's just fucking bullshit, unless I know the person, you know. So I said, fuck you, bullshit. And the guy's like, oh, my father served with distinction. I said, your fucking father took it in the ass. What do you think of that, motherfucker? Well, and all that. Nothing you could say will hurt me. I said, I don't give a shit. You're the guy that contacted me, you know? And my brother, I said, fuck you, man. Fuck your brother. He's probably a fucking traitor. Your brother probably got people killed. I mean, I just said everything to outrage the guy, you know, because, and wait till you hear the upshot of this. You're going to love this. I said everything to outrage this motherfucker because he wouldn't. You know, you can't go by the name of Joe Blow and expect respect. You just cannot. People forget that. They when they are anonymous, they call themselves Whirlybird Man or Dick Brain or something. You don't deserve respect. I mean, you can give an opinion, and to the extent that someone may consider it and take it seriously, good for you. But don't think that anybody's going to should engage you in a conversation of civility if you're offensive, if you're insulting, and particularly if you're anonymous. But anyway, so the guy was this, that, and something else. He said, I was a CPO. Ask your brother what a CPO is. I go, motherfucker, I ain't going to bother my brother over your chicken shit. And besides, I got a fucking encyclopedia. You know, I saw CPO Sharky with Dan Rickles. Don Rickles, is that what you mean? You mean like a chief petty officer? That doesn't take a consult with a naval veteran to figure out what CPO means. Well, yeah, so I'm not bothering my brother with your shit, motherfucker. But the upshot of all this thing, which was tremendously hysterically funny, was that this dick brain had left on his location. And I'm looking right at the street that he lives on and is messaging me from. I'm looking at the street, the city, everything. So I said, do you live in such and such? And this guy says this is the last resort of a troll. He says, what, are you stalking me? How the fuck could I be stalking you when you messaged me, motherfucker, with your location information on? Am I supposed to go, okay, I'll take all of your shit, sir, and yeah, go ahead and hit me, and I won't look at where you're tweeting from, even if perhaps you threaten me with death or something. I'll just, you know, and then that was it. He went off. It was, in other words, this guy was super dumb, you know, like El Supremo Dumbo. But I love that whole thing, you know. Ask your brother what a CPO is. I said, I ain't going to fucking hassle my fucking brother. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And besides, even tomorrow, you know, when I'm not going to ask him, when I could easily go to encyclopedia or go to any other resource, or just remember back watching Don Rickles on CPO Sharky, or if you will, remember what I was told throughout my life as a kid, because my brother was in the Navy, that what a chief petty officer was. So I already know what that is, you know. Anyway, I suspect that the guy was probably in the Navy, and he probably was all the shit that he said he was. But I don't really know for sure, and that's not really the point. The point is, because he didn't accord me, first of all, the respect of greeting me in any kind of a civil way, he right out of the gate was an asshole. He said to me, I had to do that to get your attention. Well, how do you know, man? How do you know I wouldn't have responded with a nice, hey, Phil, how you doing? I wanted to point out something to you. How do you know I wouldn't have responded to that? You know? But instead, he did this shit. And then, to top all that shit off, he starts making all these claims about being in the Navy. which maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, I don't know. And I think it had to do with the whole Jesse Ventura thing. But I wasn't going to give him any respect. I'd give more respect to Jesse Ventura if that motherfucker was messaging, "Hi, Phil, it's Jesse Ventura. You're a fucking sack of shit." Okay. Well, you know, we can talk about it on that basis or whatever. But, dude, nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to, is the whole, Deadwood, South Dakota is being, oh, okay, never mind. When is Sturgis? When's the whole bike run? Because I don't ride a motorcycle, man. I don't really give a fuck. Who's this chick on these fucking realtor.com commercials? She's got one incisor. She needs to get it filed down. I hate to come off like a manager. I hate to come off like an agent, you know, but she's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, but she's got a tooth that, I don't know. Anyway. But, yeah, it was just really insane. So today we're going to just do whatever we do. I'm not really sure. You see, I'm wearing a wife beater today. Excuse me. I was over at the hospital today, seeing my bra, and then I just came home and crashed. Man, I was so motherfucking tired. I didn't know I was so tired. And then I hear one of the cats, Poncho, meow, 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 and I look down and go, what the fuck? He's like this, meow, meow, meow. Well, Lauren is not in the house, but out front of the house, and he's on this upstairs balcony looking down at her, and he doesn't understand why she's down there, and he's like a little boy going, meow, 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 till she came in the house. And that was that's how butch and macho he is. He's 9 years old. Meanwhile, the little female, Thunder, she's only about a year and a half old, and she's just all, she doesn't give a shit. I could be dead in the front of the house, and she'd be all just, you know. That's why we got to get a dog. We got to get a dog in here, man. All right. Let's see what we want to do here today. Well, look, here it is. Here, this guy has been spending the last half hour on fucking Rock Springs and Bumfuck Springs and all these Western things. And all these Western things, Rock Springs, Bumfuck Springs, all these Western things. Is that where we were? Let's go over to Studio One, Bob. Okay, we were in Studio One. Yeah, thank you. Okay, Bob Bacon. I was just thinking how great it would be if, let's see, boy, that's too bad. That's really sad about that family. You can't fuck around with that goddamn desert, I'll tell you that. You know, I thank God I got sunburned early in my life. In other words, early on in my life, I got all kinds of abuse at the hands of the sun. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. Larry Grover. See what this is about, man. I got a theory that I think I'll have. I don't know, Larry Grover. Who's our conservative? Is he the only fucking conservative that we've got? No, wait, wait. I got a theory, and here it is. Donald Trump is a Republican that Republicans want to be. Now, just follow me for a second. He is the Republican Party that can succeed. I know it sounds crazy. I know it probably doesn't make sense because Republicans are not supposed to be a certain thing. Like, for instance, being in favor of single-payer health care, in favor of Obamacare, basically. And there was Rand Paul sounding more like... Rand Paul didn't sound like a fucking rebel. He didn't sound like an original thinker when he said, my friend, the Republican Party has been against... He sounded like the party boy there. You know, he sounded like the little party boy wagging his finger at the guy who said, well, guess what? I ain't going to do that shit that you do, you know? And some people will say it's against fundamental Republican principles. But so is social motherfucking security, if you want to get down to it. As a matter of fact, folks, crushing states' rights was against Republican principles, wasn't it? That's exactly what fucking Abraham Lincoln did, though. He went in and he crushed the individual rights of states militarily. He was a federalist fucking president. I keep trying to tell people no one even fucking cares what I have to say, so fuck it. But he was. Right. Mr. Trump said, but the poll conducted on 11. The real revelation of the NBC, what could give the Republican Party of it? Are those who are climbing to the top of the pack behind the New York billionaire? Texas Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz is in second with 13%, followed by retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson, 11%. Florida's Marco Rubio are next. Former Governor Jeb Bush and Scott Walker dropped from their previous second place tie. Because they're wimps. They look like a couple of fucking wimps. Rand Paul is done, as you probably already know. And that was, who was the guy? It was, what's that guy, that screeching motherfucker on Chris Matthews? He said that Rand Paul was going to be the nominee of the party. Oh. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting.
Very interesting, but not funny.
All right, man. So, yeah, you know, you gotta... I'm telling you right now, there are more things in this world than God or man hath reckoned with. You can't think you got it... You know, don't think it's ever one way or the other, man. It can be any motherfucking way it wants to be. And I'm telling you right now, Donald Trump is the Republican Party that the Republican Party probably should become, because Republicans like him. Conservatives like him. They don't give a flying fuck about the God... I'm telling you right now, they don't give a shit about fucking abortion. Don't give a fuck about half that chicken shit, you know? Let's see here. Trump, so he flip-flopped on it. So fucking what? No one gives a fuck. No one gives a fuck. That's why the Republicans keep coming up with these far-right candidates, or they keep, you know, paying lip service to these far-right candidates, or they water down the support of their moderates before they can ever really get to an election, as in the case of Romney, because they're having this fight about what kind of a Republican Party are they, and the candidate himself suddenly is caught up in this constant redefining of himself and his message, until it's a party of a decided minority of people. Either you got something that the American people want, or go stick it up your ass someplace. Go fucking find some other friends, because you ain't going to find them here. And the Republicans can jump up and down and scream and bellyache all those motherfuckers want. You ain't got any fucking friends. Nobody wants to listen to what you got to say. Fuck off. That's it in a nutshell. Now, Trump's coming along, and he may be saying something that conservatives want to hear and that the larger body of people voting in this country want to hear. He's a Republican with a very pragmatic view of what that means. He is a business-oriented guy. Sure, he thinks that the government can partner with business in some ways. What the fuck is wrong with that? he's not all jerking off over all these social issues, gay this, fucking abortion that, but that goddamn gay rights issue just weighted the Republican Party down. Just, you got guys that are still on the wrong side of that fight. That motherfucker, that clown, that Santorum, get that motherfucker out of here. He's, all he is a clown, and he makes everybody else look like a Ringling Brothers act.
Good God, Phil, you are very, very... And would you please wet your whistle?
I will if you do.
And what does that mean?
It means that we're ready to go. All right, let me get my sound effects here. Eyewitness. And then we need to... Okay, and then what I want here is, in some secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue. Shut up, people.
My head goes reeling.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we're almost ready here. Almost ready here. All right. And we also have an Uber spot to do, and we have a mid-roll, which is the LA Podcast Festival. Awesome. All right.
Cocktails for two. My head goes reeling.
All right, I think we're set to rock this piece of shit. Let's do it to it, you know? All right. All right. What? Oh, okay.